Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 28th on the West Coast, now October the 29th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. We know why you are. Tonight is that special night when we bring your number one talk show host from a Marine's disquisition to this show, former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, and a researcher, electronics engineer, realtor, and many other things. My good friend, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
We have one correction, and welcome to all my Marines around the world. Semper Fi. I'm not a realtor. I am a independent real estate broker. I don't profess to be a realtor anymore because of the corruption by realtors, which is a trademark organization out there that took the name from a real estate company back in 1917 and changed it because they were Realtor and Associates. They took that name and patented it. And now if you're an independent real estate broker, you have to let everybody know that you're not a realtor.
Well,
they'll come fine you $10,000. Well, they'll try to get $10,000 for using their logo and their name, even though at one time I was a realtor.
Well, then I stand corrected. Former U.S. realtor.
Just a former individual that played in the hands of the corruption of the greedy banksters and the mortgage companies and learned the truth and started to uncover it 10 years ago. And they haven't liked me since.
Yes, yes. Well, Drew, I have a message that I got from my good friend, the General Jeremiah. He was actually answering some questions that were posed to him about dimensions and, you know, how many dimensions are there? How do people move through dimensions? At some point in the show, I want to read that tonight. But first, I want to tackle some of the things that you've been dealing with. You had a three-hour show today, and you covered a variety of topics. And I know that you've got a lot that you've been bringing forth yourself. I also got somewhat of an update into what's going into chemtrails. And we have reason to be concerned about this, okay, because we're dealing with psychopaths. There's no doubt about it. I mean, their interest is to wreak death and destruction upon any living thing on the surface of this planet. But before we go into all that, tell us what you've been dealing with.
Oh, man. Where do you want to start? I've been getting 20 hours of work day in all week long. So you people out there that tell me you work 8 to 10 hours and you're hurting, don't even come complain. That's an open-ended question, Don. First of all, Monday the website was hacked, but they weren't able to get through the lock doors that were designed by me years ago. But they were able to change the passwords, where we the webmaster and myself cannot get into our website and make changes. They did a pretty good job. And we've been able to trace the software directly to, for all purposes, for those of you around the world, the United States Air Force Command. And so we're kind of locked out, but that doesn't hold us back. We're in the process of rebuilding the website, saving all of 6.5 years of data, and moving it over to the side where we'll have the links. We've had roughly 283 or 86, I forgot the number, people that are signed up on the website that are wind talkers around the world, and they have not been able to get an update of any data from the website because we did not make a backup, hard copy, meaning on paper, of their emails. But we were able to, after 2 days of hard diligence, we were able to grab theirs, and they all started receiving data yesterday. So we've got about 28,000 people out there now receiving data. And as you very well know, I go down the rabbit hole with you.
Drew,
I just let you go first because you got that drag crane that you pull out of that rabbit's hat.
Yeah. Before you go on, can you adjust your mic a little bit, bring it a little bit closer, because your volume dropped a little on us.
Oh, really? Well, I know why it dropped, because I hit a button over here.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
Okay, is that better?
Much better. 10 times better. Seth is doing
it. Anyhow.
Seth is
now that we've got the volume corrected,
okay,
we move over to the simple fact that, ladies and gentlemen, we've got 4 days. Tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days to get out constantly and get your friends, your neighbors, your relatives here in the United States off their posteriors and understand that Tuesday, the fourth day from today, is the first day of the rest of this nation's life. We either become more conservative, more godly, returning to our values and to what the founding fathers' real intent was. And ladies and gentlemen, I know there was only 13% of the full population of the colonies that were for the Constitution, that stood up and there wasn't a Constitution. It wasn't even an Articles of Confederation. It was a belief to be free and independent.
Okay, now, Drew, I lost you. Don't know if
I'm here.
Okay. You said an independent, and you stopped.
We are meant, our founding fathers were meant, fought in 1775 for independence, not to form a new nation, but to be independent, to be self-governing, to have respect by the judicial system, to have respect by the governors. But in 1775, it was what our founding fathers were looking at. They were looking all the way back to the founding of the Magna Carta. They wanted the colonies to be able to participate with the Magna Carta and the rights and the freedoms of the Magna Carta. That's what the war was all about, beginning in 1775. In their fondest dreams, they could never thought that they would be able to form a new nation. But after 8 years of war, and in the progress of 8 years of war, where men said in Philadelphia to form this nation, we have an opportunity to respect those men. I don't care about all those naysayers out there that said that it was a bunch of corrupt men sitting around the table, that they were Illuminatists, that were Masons. You're trying to use the definitions of Masons today, an evil group of people, with the Masons of 1775. George Washington was a Mason, but he prayed to God, the one God of the Creator of all. He prayed to Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ. I don't care what name you want to call Christ, the one Son of God. His begotten Son sent here. I don't care what name you call him. I don't care if you call him Jesus or Joseph or whatever. It is what you've got in your heart, like George Washington had 235 years ago. And George Washington prayed three times a day. And yet I hear people out here, and I'm not going to name names, in the Informational Freedom Network, on the Alternative Network, that talk about George Washington being a Mason. And we got pictures of George Washington with his little apron around him that was a Mason. In those days, Masons united together for family, for God, the God that we believe in. Not the God that the Masons believe in today. In 1826, the Masons were destroyed, invaded. I should say that was the beginning of their destruction. Albert Pike infiltrated the Masons and destroyed the Masons with his dogma. When you learn the truth, ladies and gentlemen, you understand that the men, not that there weren't any women that should have been there. There were women behind the scenes that talked to these men in Philadelphia. These men just didn't go home and slap their wives around and make them sew and cook and be the wife slave. That's something that these Illuminatus want you to believe. The men of the era would sit down at the table and discuss the things. And the women would offer their ideas. Martha Washington, for instance, gave inspiration to her husband and belief and pushed him and made sure the home fires burned for 8 years. We've got 3 days to unite, to turn this country around to the days when men, before they went into battle, were led in prayer by John Jay, General, first Supreme Court Justice, George Washington, President of the United States, the 15th president, if you want to look at the real facts, the first president under the current Constitution, a limitation of power. If when you people understand the Constitution is not your right, it's the contract. It's a limitation of power on people that go into office. And you, your fathers, your grandfathers, my mother, my grandmother, my grandfathers, my father, my great-great-grandfather, my great-great-uncle failed in their due diligence. They failed me. They failed you. They failed our children and grandchildren. For 50 years, the Illuminati has been taking over this country silently. So many of you think you are free. You are so hopelessly enslaved. We got 3 days. And what happens? You ask me, Don, what I'm doing this week. For the first time, I've had a political radio show where I promoted Jim Keith for governor of the state of Arkansas. He's running on a Republican ticket, but he refuses to sign anything with the Republicans.
No, he's running as a conservative, right?
So when we're there, he's 100% conservative. He's 100% state rights. He's 100% gun ownership. He's 100% First Amendment. He's 100% pro-life. He's 100% on smaller government and less taxes. And when he looks out there, he's not some stature of a man, 6'5", 300 pounds, or 6'5", and 250 pounds, or 200 pounds. He's 5'8", 5'9", a proportion. He's a businessman. He believes in what the Founding Fathers set up in 1789, where men were to be elected to office politically, go to Washington, D.C., go to the capital of their state, work in their state legislatures, work in their state senates for 2 or 4 years, but return to public office. Jim Keith did that. In 1990, he was a legislator in the state of Arkansas for 4 years. He quit. Well, he didn't quit. He just he did his stunt, as he calls it. I did my 4 year stunt, and decided I'd run for Congress. I was beaten by Thornton, and when I was beaten by Thornton, I just decided I'd get back into public life and work my businesses. What did he do? He created a chain of restaurants. He put 1,600 people to work in the state of Arkansas. That was directly responsible to him in a line of businesses that also helped other businesses. Each one of these restaurants required 12 other businesses to supply them with their goods and services and foods, etc. How many people went to work because of Jim Keith? A conservative. He worked as a conservative for 18 years. And now he comes back and says, it's time for me to come back into political life. We've got term limits in governor. So he's looking at the maximum of 8 years if he gets elected. And I pray that the people of Arkansas will elect this man. Because the one we have in the office stood there and said nothing about Barack Hussein Obama. Either his birth certificate or the health bill, Obamacare. And he made a comment. A governor stands here and makes a comment that, I haven't read the bill yet. For 2 weeks, he didn't read the bill. And every governor in the United States could have had the bill. And then the 3 days after the bill, when people around Arkansas are madder than hatter because Branch Lincoln and Richard Pryor, the two senators from Arkansas, voted for Obamacare. And three of the four congressmen voted for Obamacare. And the people were up in arms because they were sending 10,000 emails and letters to Washington, D.C., to Blanche Lincoln, to Richard Pryor, and the three congressmen, Jim Thornton. For one, my congressman. I talked to this former Lance Corporal, United States Marine Corps, now congressman. I called him on the phone as a decorated Marine. And he said that, well, you haven't read the full bill. I said, yes, sir, I have. And he was quite astonished that I had read over 2,500 pages. I said, it took me a week reading on it 4 hours a day, highlighting it. And I still, today, find stuff in that bill that just shocks the living daylights out of me. How could anybody pass such a draconian, fascist, Stalinist health bill? This wasn't for the people. This was to enslave you, the American.
And for the kickbacks.
Listen. And yes, for the big pharmaceutical and insurance companies' kickback and the destruction of some insurance companies that would falter because they couldn't compete. To make a long story short, ladies and gentlemen, this last 4 days I have been active. 20 hours a day, and I need 40. 4 hours of sleep per day, averaged, maximum 3 hours and 30 minutes.
I'll trade you.
And yes, I know that you do the same thing, Don. I went 40 hours straight because of things that are going on out there.
Yeah.
My girlfriend in Ukraine, madder than a hatter. Big guy.
Because you're spending so much time working, or?
Because I wasn't spending any time calling her. Talking with her during the short hours that we have to be able to converse. But this country, this is my country. This is your country. This is the time we've got 3 days. And here's the kicker. You ask me what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing and what I've been formulating on the side. I am about to go 1 hour a day minimum on my radio show. Even if we have to increase it to 3 hour show every day, we're going to implement 1 hour on survival. I spent $390 traveling to Missouri to investigate square foot gardening by Lynn Pence and how to do above ground gardening, and no weeds at all, no shovel, no spade, no rake. And how much would it cost to set up? Yes, it's slightly expensive to set up. But once you set this thing up, once you do above ground gardening setup, or you do barrel gardening, ladies and gentlemen, you can grow enough food to feed a family of four for a full year on an eighth of an acre of land.
And it just about takes care of itself, too.
And you're right. It takes care of itself, because here's the big kicker about this, ladies and gentlemen. The only thing you've got to do is to make sure that you put compost, because you need nutrients, and you've got to rotate your crops, because some crops put nutrients back in the soil. You've got to learn how to do this. I spent the money so I could bring it to people that haven't got the time, the money, nor the location in which they can come into Missouri and visit Lynn Pence's farm, nor have they got time to do the investigation of alternatives. And marrying what Lynn Pence has put together with other alternatives to make it cheaper, yet still produce the best quality food your taste buds have ever languished on. I found Willard's water. It's not something that comes out of the ground as an artesian well. Willard's water, Dr. James W. Willard. Those of you on Wind Talkers, you got a full hour of Willard water today with his grandson, John W. Willard III. Fantastic. The hour went and flew by. It was like 10 minutes.
I know. You could have done a 3 hour show just on that topic alone.
Correct.
Yeah.
And what's the greatest thing about John's grandfather? He worked on the Manhattan Project, but he felt he wanted to leave a legacy to mankind beside the Manhattan Project and death. He wanted to leave life. He wanted you. He wanted his own children. He wanted mankind, not just Americans, not just Canadians, not just the Europeans, Caucasians. He wanted all races to benefit from Willard's water. And what is Willard's water? It happens to be a water that puts the microscopic nutrients back into the water after your water's been distilled or filtered. And here's the greatest kicker. Willard's water, 1 ounce to a gallon of any kind of water you got, cleans that water up and puts the nutrients back in there. However, Dr. Willard made the comment in his research that it was ideal if a person would distill their water or filter their water, because then the free radicals of his Willard's water didn't have to fight so hard to put nutrients back into the water. And what do you do? What can you do with Willard's water? You can drink it for your own body. But here's the kicker. This is what got me so excited about Willard's water versus a lot of the fertilizers out there that people go buy that's got chemicals in them. Willard's water, one cup of Willard's water. Ladies and gentlemen, 8 ounces of water, of Willard's water, to 8 gallons of filtered water over your garden bed once every 3 months. And you grow zucchini squash that weighs 25 pounds. You grow watermelons that weigh 80 pounds. You grow pumpkins that weigh 100 pounds. You grow tomatoes. When you slice them, the slice of tomato covers, you hear my words, covers a complete slice of bread.
A pizza. Or a slice of
you
pizza.
You want to make a tomato sandwich? It's tomato and bread. It's not bread and tomato. And here's the kicker. You marry Dr. Willard's water with Lynn Pence above ground gardening, and all of a sudden, just like Lynn Pence does, he plants his beans and harvests beans every 90 days. And I don't mean a few beans. He has a bean plant that's 40 feet from ground to the top. You don't have to take my word for it. You can see the pictures on his website. And you can go out there and just type Lynn Pence, just about anywhere you want to go. But on his, but you can also learn from the website called GardeningRevolution.com. Now, I paid the $50 to go do a personal look, see the garden, physically see and document exactly everything that's on the GardeningRevolution.com's DVD. That you can download off the internet if you've got high speed internet. If you don't, you can order the DVD, and I personally recommend you order your own copy of the DVD. It's not $30 for two DVDs. And for $30, you bring that home, and now you have begun a survival. You don't have to believe me about Willard's water. 60 minutes. Get a 14-minute expose, no commercials, just 14 minutes of solid background truth on Willard's water. And you can see a nun holding a 22-pound squash. You can see ranchers feeding Willard's water to their calves, spraying Willard's water on severe burns on cows. Why do cows get severe burns? Because they're tattooed. Many of you call it branding. And that, believe it or not, I don't care what anybody says, that's got to be painful to those calves. Bottom line is, you see this, you document this, and you see Dr. Willard himself, as an older man, drinking this water straight from the bottle. So it can't be harmful, but it can be beneficial to you, putting the minute trace elements of minerals back into your body.
Yeah, Drew,
4 days.
I want to vouch for what you're saying. I was into square foot gardening as far back as 1987. And I had an area which was about 100 square feet. And I had 8 tomato plants. And my neighbor came over one day. By the way, I didn't have Willard's water at the time, but I did manufacture my own compost.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
But now, go ahead, please.
my neighbor came over to look at my garden because he couldn't believe all the things that I had growing in that space. We're talking about roughly a 10 foot by 10 foot area, 100 square feet. I had every vegetable you can imagine growing in that garden. And he went over to the tomato plants first. And he said, look at how red these tomatoes are. And then he looked at them again and he said, these have to be the most beautiful market tomatoes I've ever seen. And these plants were 8.5 feet tall. I had a pretty tall fence, and I had them near the fence, staked up and tied a little bit so that if the wind blew real hard, they wouldn't get knocked over, plus the weight of all the tomatoes. And I said, market tomatoes? Those aren't market tomatoes. Those are cherry tomatoes. Those are for salads. Drew, these tomatoes were anywhere from, let's say, a fifth of a pound to a half a pound in weight, just on those eight plants. And when it came harvest time, I picked 200 tomatoes off of those eight plants and left quite a few on there because they hadn't ripened sufficiently. And I started eating them. I started canning them. I had so many tomatoes, I had to start giving them away to the neighbors. So I picked a neighbor every day to receive a big portion, maybe 100, 150 of these tomatoes. And they'd say, oh, we can't take those, can't take those. I said, you got to take them. They'll go bad if you don't. Eat them. Give them away. Give them to your family. Give them to your friends. And eventually, I couldn't count the thousands of tomatoes that I picked off of those eight plants during a full growing season. Plants were healthy, happy. Of course, you have to prune them. You have to pull the suckers off before they start growing too many branches. But growing it the proper way produces those kinds of results. I had gigantic radishes, at least the size of golf balls, on a regular basis. And like you said, I rotated the crops. Some crops also have a tendency to deplete the soil of certain nutrients. And so if you add some compost and put a different kind of stress on that soil, it'll adapt. The new plants and the new vegetables will adapt very quickly. And it's a joy to see how much food you can produce. But four people, no, I would say we probably fed 20, 30 people on a regular basis. So, but you certainly can feed a family of four. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt.
And you can, and ladies and gentlemen, canning is not that hard. You just have to learn how to do it. These are part of survival methods. And you got 3 days to take America and start its return to its founding morals, to liberty, to justice, to real freedom. Not freedom with a license, but real liberty and freedom. And if you don't, you better learn how to do square foot gardening. You can do square foot gardening in the roof of your house, in the safety of your own home, on the upper floor, if you are lucky enough to have a home with an attic that's floored, and you haul your what? You haul your compost. You don't have to buy a lot of heavy chemicals at all. You don't have to buy a lot of fertilizer. All you need to do is learn how to make good quality compost. You need meat on the table. You don't have a ranch to grow longhorn cattle. By the way, Don, I got some beef jerky from Daryl.
I know you told me.
Eat your heart out, boy. You don't have enough room to grow your own cattle? Grow rabbits. And what do you have from rabbits? You've got fur. You've got food. You got the bones from the rabbits crushed up and placed in as a meal back into your fertilizer, into your compost. And the manure from the rabbits are perfect for your compost. You make compost, you can use cattle manure. You can use rabbit manure. Never, never, never use manure from horses or chickens. The pH level from horses' manure and chickens are not going to give you what you need. And these are things I've done these last 4 days and things about what's going to happen over the next few weeks. 1 hour a day. We're going to talk about specific subject. Maybe it's going to be how to make compost. And where can you get the ingredients for the compost? Well, I just told you, rabbit manure. And if you haven't got rabbit manure, find somebody that's got a cow. And right now, stock up. Manure dries out. You can have it in your backyard for 2 years, covered up after it dries out. And it still retains the nutrients that you need to throw in with your compost. Where do you get to put in there? Leaves. Refuse. Throw away stuff that you don't eat, like the outer layers of lettuce or cabbage. The refuse from the plants. After you pick the fruit off of them, or the vegetables, you want to call it a vegetable, fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, and don't
make your own. And Don, you, what I like about what you said and what you did was grow or made your own compost.
Oh yeah, you can use eggshells and banana
shells,
and you can use clippings from your lawn. You can throw that in there too. You know, you can recycle that stuff, and it activates it. It makes it a live biological organism, and when you put live fertilizer in the ground comes alive. It's a real simple principle. It's a universal principle, really. So yeah, you're right. And Drew, I'm not exaggerating. You should have seen the big boy tomatoes that I had, the super big boys. They're advertised to go 3 pounds. If they're well taken care of, they'll be as heavy as 3 pounds in size. You can almost start a soccer game, a soccer match with
it. Well, I'll tell you what,
a tomato.
I saw this tomato that this nun had in her hand weighed 5.5 pounds.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And a slice off of it, covered a slice of bread. And we're not talking about you could it would cover it and you could see the edges. No. We're talking about this slice of tomato was over a slice of bread, and the other slice of bread this guy was making for a sandwich was over to the side. And if you wanted to move it from the outer edge of one slice of bread over to the second slice of bread, it would have covered the entire first slice of bread and gone over about a third of the way onto the second slice of bread if it was mudged up adjacent, immediately adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Don, that's the kind of food we've got to get back. We can grow it. We can grow that ourselves. We have this lack of crop diversity that the UN comes out and says that we've got, and the genetic diversity of plants that we grow and eat, quoting the United Nations, says it could be lost forever because of climate change. They keep shoving this climate change, Earth. This is Mother Earth. It changes. It's changed for billions of years. It's going to change for billions of years in the future.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need that.
You people out there understand.
Go ahead, Drew. Go ahead.
2,000 years from now. 1,000 years from now, nobody's going to care who you are. Nobody's going to care what the Razorback football game did last weekend or next weekend or the Ohio Cornhuskers did versus the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the Ohio football team or the basketball. They 1,000 years from now, nobody's going to give a hoot and Hades about the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears or the New York Yankees and the Texas Rangers. Nobody's going to, 1,000 years. Here's a classic example, ladies and gentlemen. 1,600 years ago in the days of Rome, gladiators walked streets, and they were looked at as the what we look like today when we see Paris Hilton walk down the street, Google-logging. What a bunch of hogwash. If I saw Paris Hilton walk down the street, I'd probably turn around and walk the other way. But many of you out there think that these movie stars and the Dancing with the Stars is such a great deal. But you're afraid to teach your children the truth about history and morals. The queers, the pedophiles have taken over. Much like the fox in the cartoon 1943, Walt Disney. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And the fox runs into the courtyard and the ducks and the chickens, the turkey and the pig run to the cave. You got to get into the cave. The sky is falling. And when all the animals got into the cave, the fox looks out at the camera and then does a little wink and goes in. And after a few minutes, he comes out with a pot belly that makes Archie Bunker look skinny and a toothpick, wishbone toothpick from a chicken plucking his teeth. That's what's happening to you right now, because you believe in this agenda of global earth warming, and you're not paying attention to the fact that this is God's earth, and the proper knowledge, the proper education, and the proper seeds, man can do what he was meant to do. Live independent and free. Your money, the paper money you've got in your pocket called the United States Federal Reserve Note. Ladies and gentlemen, I have awakened in nightmares, witnessing in my mind people burning pallet loads of Federal Reserve notes in 55-gallon drums with a foot of snow on the ground, trying to keep warm. Witnessing women throwing buckets of Federal Reserve notes into fireplaces to keep warm. When you have a nightmare like that, and we're not talking about they're throwing fake counterfeit, talking about the real stuff. In your dream, you start realizing, what do you need to do? What's important to you in your life? How do you live? Water. You gotta have water. Clean water. Not Willard's water by itself, but water, just basic water. And you gotta have food. And you've got to have ammo and guns to protect your water and your food. And, of course, you have to have clothes. Does your wife know how to make a shirt? Or does your wife know how to make a pair of trousers or a dress? How many women today have a dress pattern in their home? A dress pattern. I remember my mother would go shopping for dress patterns and make her own dress. She made four of my own shirts. back in the early 1990s. They still sat in my closet because they were handmade by my mother, 100% cotton, colored. One's red, one's blue, one's green, and one's brown. They're double-breasted John Wayne shirts. My mother made those from a pattern. She paid $4 for it. I've seen my mother make her own dresses in the 60s. How many of your wives can make a pattern, take a pattern and cut out the material, sew it together, and when they're through, they have a dress that they can wear? Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going into a collapse. There is a coming collapse, and patriots surviving the coming collapse need to get off your posteriors and understand the things that you need. Friendship. Network with a group of people that are close to you, not 20 miles away, not four states out, 100 yards from you. Know your friends. Know your enemies. Learn how to do square foot gardening in a safe place so your food is not stolen from you. Stock up. The Mormon Church has got and professes mandates. Now, I'm not a Mormon. I don't believe in the religion at all. I believe in two of the things that they do. They look at your genealogy and keep a darn good record, much like the Levites did, the tribe of Israel, the bookkeepers. And they teach their congregation to have not 3 months of food, not 6 months of food, 5 years of food for every man, woman, and child in their home. Many Mormons, the men, will not allow their daughters to get married to their future son-in-law until that man has at least 2 years of food stocked up in his home. We're about to go into a coming collapse, ladies and gentlemen. You got 3 days to turn this nation around. You got 3 days, and then this nation is going to have to hold its breath for 90 days. Well, not really 90, 60, 64 days before the new Congress convenes and the new Senate convenes. And then you've got about another 30 to 60 days maximum. Or this, and those men that come in January, the men and women, they're going to have 30 days. 60 days max, work days, to change this country. And if we don't do it, Don, those of you out there that are over the age 15, you're going to witness the return in the United States of a war that was done and a breakup that was done in Yugoslavia. And it's not going to be pretty. 5 out of 7 of you are going to die. 5 out of 7. And how many will around the world? The United States of America is the third largest populated nation in the world, and 5 out of 7 are going to die. In other countries, it's not going to be so bad because they don't have anything to fight with. They will starve to death because there's no United States of America sending them food and helping them put water wells in around the world. China's population, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that run around screaming the Chinese are coming or the Russians are coming or the UN is coming, take your head out of your posterior and throw away the spoon and the knife because you've been eating too much. The UN's not coming. The UN is made up mostly of United States of America troops. You talk about the blue helmets coming, that is your sons and daughters that will be issued blue helmets and blue uniforms, taking orders from some general or officer from another country. But will that happen? Not in any big way. Those of you that live in New York, kiss your posterior goodbye. And I don't mean New York State. I mean New York City. Those of you in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, New Orleans, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, across America, you're going to die. If the power goes off, there's only 3 days of food. And there's no water. There's no 3 days of water. When power goes off, ladies and gentlemen, there is no water after 24 hours because there's no pumps pushing the water up into the water towers. Think about it. Common sense. Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense. We don't have common sense today. You're dumbed down. Look at your food. You can't eat a meal. You can't eat most of anything without 2 to 4 grams of sugar in it. Sugar! Americans eat over 5 pounds of sugar a year in 2010. 5 pounds of sugar.
And sugar loves bacteria.
And it stores in your body as fat and makes you tired. Makes you tired. You can get a sugar rush and get excited for 10 or 15 minutes, but then the downside is after that sugar rush is in your system, boom, you're dead. 235 years ago, Americans ate less than a quarter of a pound of sugar. A quarter of a pound of sugar in 5 years. The people that had sweets were the people that had bee farms. There weren't any sugar beets. There was a little cane sugar out there, very sparingly. Tomato paste didn't have sugar in it. You go out today, ladies and gentlemen, you look at the side of any can, if you buy the store, and you're going to see that it's going to have 2 grams of sugar. Don't even think about Wheaties and Cocoa Puffs. In Kellogg's, you're made to be fat. You're set up to be slaughtered. 5 out of 7 Americans are going to die in this coming collapse. You don't have to take my word for it. You can prepare. You don't prepare. I'm not going to worry about it. I've gave up a long time about worrying about it. But I do care about bringing you the truth about square foot gardening, bucket gardening, the gardening revolution. Willard's water. A 1 gallon jug of Willard's water will make 128 gallons of Willard's water. Now you think about 128 gallons of distilled water at a grocery store will cost you a minimum of $120. Minimum of $120. And yet, it doesn't put any nutrients in your body. It doesn't feed your plants. Oh, and you tell me you're going to clean your water with a microwave. Take a cup of water, put it in a microwave, and nuke it until it's nice and hot. Do it about 3 times. Then you got 3 cups of water, put it in a bowl, and put a poor goldfish into the bowl. The goldfish will do everything it can after that. When that water is nice and cold, put the goldfish in it. That goldfish will do everything he can to stay alive because there's no air in that water. There's no nutrients in that water. He will suffocate. I've done it. I've seen it. with my own eyes. I didn't let the fish die. And when power goes off, 3 days. You got 3 days to return America. You got 3 days when the power goes off. Water will stop in 3 days. There isn't a city in America. There are four exceptions. There isn't a major city in America that's got more than 3 days of food. And if you really want to get technical, there's not a city in America that's got more than 3 days of food. Because even in Kansas City, with the massive amount of food that's underground in the storage facility at Kansas City, just outside of Kansas City, we're talking about there's enough food rotated in those caverns just outside of Kansas City to feed the population of Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, North and South Dakota, Iowa, Oklahoma, Arkansas, the population, just food that is stored in Kansas City is enough food. If they could send it to New York City, would feed New York City for 3 months. Just New York City. But when the power goes off, there's no lights in those caverns. When the power goes off, there's no more fresh air in those caverns. When the lights go off, there's no way to pump gasoline or diesel into a truck. When the lights go off, there is no grocery store that can run a cash register or maintain any food in a cooler for more than 3 days. Don, I know that you probably didn't realize what I was going to talk about tonight, but I've got one last thing to say.
Go ahead.
When this nation falls on its face, those of us that are left will have to get on our hands and knees with tears in our eyes and pray that those that survive can unite and return this nation to some form of civilization.
Well, we've come to that now, Drew. And I agree with everything you're saying, and you're just scratching the surface of
of
the immediate reality as it's going to hit everybody.
There's two books that depict exactly what's going to happen in America and how things can happen to change it. One is called Michael Collins, the revolutionary leader of the early 20th century in Ireland, who is responsible for the formation of what we know as Ireland today. Not the six counties of Northern Ireland. That was the trade-off. He gave up six counties. Those six counties he gave to the King of England. It was a trade-off to stop the murder, the pillage of the Irish. And yet he was killed by his own revolutionaries. But the Illuminati killed him. And they honored him in death with the majority of the leaders in the world, including our own president. President Hardy went to his funeral. And in those days, there weren't any planes. President Harding got on a boat and went to the funeral. Took a whole week to go over and a whole week to come back. Ladies and gentlemen, the other book is called Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse by James Wesley Rawls. About 400 or 500 pages. You can read it in about 2 days. Diligent reading. It reads smoothly. Michael Collins reads smoothly. And if you don't really want to read, Michael Collins was put in a motion picture with Julia Roberts as the female star and lover for Michael Collins. Patriots surviving the coming collapse is a down and in your face about what's going to happen. And it's got some great little tidbits all throughout it about what you need to do about storing food, about survival, about uniting, about how to set up a protection platoon, and how to move your lifestyle into the country on the high ridge. Take notes. Don, I'm not scared of the future. There's nothing I can do about it other than stand up and fight for truth, honor, and justice, and fight these Illuminatists, fight these Stalinists, these Nazis, these immoral pedophiles, and human beings that call into, well, everybody has the right to be a queer or a homosexual if they so choose. My personal viewpoint is take every lesbian and every queer and put them on an island. I'll give them Hawaii. In 50 years, they'll all be dead. Sodom and Gomorrah was a lesson to humanity. And we today in America are ignoring. You think Sodom and Gomorrah was just two separate towns? Ladies and gentlemen, in that era, people had towns one day walk. You can walk approximately 3 miles an hour. Sodom and Gomorrah were 4 days walk away from each other. But there were other towns in between, small villages, one day walk any day of the week, 3 miles. You're looking at every 15 to 24 miles. Look at the Old West, where you had the Pony Express. A horse can only run 6 miles before they have to take a rest. They have to sit back for at least 18 hours before they can run again. 6 miles. That's when you look at places like Little Rock, Arkansas, and North Little Rock, Arkansas, and you look to the southwest toward Texarkana and the Texas border. You've got Bryant. Then you've got Benton. Then you've got Morrilton. All of those cities on the stage where the stagecoach rode, where people could get on the stagecoach and they would ride from breakfast in the morning to lunch and then to supper, and then they would do another little stunt and lay over at another small way station for the night, trading horses off. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's coming to America right now, real soon. There ain't going to be any mopeds. Oh, bicycles? If you've got a bicycle, man, you're going to be having the Rolls Royce of all time. But eventually the bicycle's going to need wheels. And where are you going to get the wheels? And if you have a flat, where are you going to get the air to put in it? Oh, you got your own hand pump? How many people out there have a hand pump? What if you break your glasses? I'm not trying to scare you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to wake you up. You got 3 days.
And yeah, true.
You've got 120 days maximum, Don. And if we can't take this country around and turn it around, what's going to happen? Look to the 99ers. Those of you that understand who the 99ers are, you may have two or three in your neighborhood, the 99ers, the men and women that are collecting unemployment, and it was extended from 54 months to 69 months. to 99 months. And now the 99ers are running out of money. Is Congress going to set aside another $3 billion to pay people that haven't got a job? And you hear Obama going to India, renting 800 hotel rooms on your dollar? On your dollar? Renting 800 hotel rooms? And when is he leaving? Somebody told me today that he was leaving before the election.
Yeah, but
he's guaranteed to be in India on the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Don, you know that for a fact, that he's leaving before the election?
Well, I heard that same thing today, and that it was commented that that was rather strange for him to do that, but I also heard that he was going to be in India from November the 4th through the 6th. Now, that could change. At the time, it was only 550 hotel rooms. So
it's over 800 now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it grew.
I got that word from a Marine security guard.
Yeah. Drew.
And here's another thing.
Before
Obama leaves the country of the United States.
Drew.
And Hillary Clinton is going to going to Asia.
Yeah, yeah. Hillary's trying to get money. You know, she's trying to get her hands on newspaper articles, too. She's evidently, there have been some newspaper articles destroyed that she's trying to get her hands on. We'll have more on that in the coming days. Before we run out of time, I don't want to stop the topic because it's really...
No, that's fine.
It's really important.
I'm just trying to warn people. They got 3 days to take their lives back. Go ahead.
You delivered a wake-up call. That's all I can call it. It's a wake-up call. We talked about people being asleep on last night's show. They wake up in the morning, and they're walking, they're sleepwalking through life. Really. That's what's going on. And what you're saying is common sense, it's practical, and it's easy to do. Anybody can do it. Even somebody who's sleepwalking can do it. And in the process of doing it, you'll start waking up. I wanted to share some information. This is pretty important. And we're not really going to have enough time to get into chemtrails, but this, what I'm going to read leads to where the information on the chemtrails situation came from. Now, I had a request by an acquaintance to direct some questions to the general, General Jeremiah from the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon. Okay. He is an American. He flew for the U.S. Air Force. He was a fighter pilot. He worked for the CIA. He worked with Operation Delta Force. He's not an alien. He's a full-blooded American, the kind of person Drew's been talking about for the last hour. And he was picked many years ago to become part of the Federation for our benefit, regardless of what corrupt government we have in power. This mutual friend posts some questions because he had seen some of the Federation craft. And I submitted these, or I facilitated submitting these to the general, okay? I'm going to read, they're just four simple questions, and he was concerned about dimensions and how, where they exist or how they exist. And he asked these, in his own way. First, he said, are there as many dimensions as there are universes? Well, the question would be, how many universes are there and how many dimensions are there? And so, but he put it in one question. Second question, do you travel through dimensions by a frequency as if changing a radio station? If so, is there a dimensional code that is shared for traveling through or for traveling? You have to access some dimensional code in order to travel from one dimension to another. These are his questions. I'm not saying that these necessarily state scientific fact. or presume scientific fact? And then his fourth question, or just how does all this work? That's probably the best question right there. His response, which he received, good questions. There is only one universe. It contains all that God has created, including all of the galaxies to infinitum. There may be no end to God's creations and galaxies. No one that we know of has ever reached the end or edge of it, at least. As we travel through space, we stay in the same dimension that we are always in, which is the same one you live in. Many call this the third dimension, but there is no way to measure it. So this might as well be called the millionth dimension. We feel it is relative to our knowledge of God. The Federation feels that there are at least 24 dimensions, which are referenced in the books of knowledge concerning God. These are the Bibles of many of the planets in our Federation of Planets, now consisting of 574 and one more that is currently in the admission stage to the Federation. When we warp time in our acceleration through many times the speed of light, we pass through an envelope where our spacecraft and bodies change in reference to a predetermined frequency that our bodies normally exhibit. That frequency is relative to our spiritual mind and relationship with our Creator. Let me read that again, Drew. That frequency is relative to our spiritual mind and relationship with our Creator. Some humans seem to exhibit a higher frequency than others. I was told that I was picked to be a part of the Federation because of the frequency range of my thoughts and prayer life. Certain Federation researchers have an innate ability to monitor people and communicate via mind-to-mind transmission means. There is no equipment that can accomplish that. My precious fiancé, who I call Karen, found me and started this communication process. I heard her talking to me via this method the first time I met her in person. Her IQ is so high that it is not measurable by our earthly standards. She speaks 57 languages fluently. She has taught me three of them, which are the native languages of a large percentage of the Federation planets. She speaks most of the major languages of planet Earth also. I pray you will get to meet her someday. The majority of the 26,000 people that I command in Project Alliance have IQs of at least genius level, including even some of the normal staff of the Alliance spacecraft. All of my pilots and crew members have been handpicked and screened and have that intelligence level. The reason for that high intelligence level is because of the high oxygen content on their planets and on our spacecraft. They are completely vegetarian in their diet and do not consume the bacteria and diseases of animals, since they eat no animal flesh. We feel that the early creation here on planet Earth also had that high intelligence level and lived extremely long lives because of the high oxygen content of the atmosphere and their consumption of a vegetarian diet. Adam lived to be 930 years old, according to Genesis 5:5. When man started killing animals and consuming their flesh and diseases, his lifespan began to shorten. The oxygen content of the atmosphere also began to dissipate. When we reach hyperspace speed, we bend time and reach a destination in a short period which would normally take many light years to accomplish. We do not change dimensions. When antimatter is created by the generators on our spacecraft, it produces a warp in time. We also use portals that some call stargates. When we obtain hyperspace speed inside a portal, which is a passage passageway in space from one point to another, we can traverse light years of distance in very short periods. These portals are frequencies. Our spacecraft have the ability to lock onto these portal frequencies to enter them. All of them are different. There are no preset frequency codes because the frequencies of these portals are constantly changing. Our computers are able to ascertain the frequency as we approach a portal. We have millions of them mapped in space and know approximately where a portal starts and ends. We ride in that tunnel until we get close to our destination, and then we depart it and travel the remainder of the distance to our destination via antimatter propulsion systems combined with anti-gravity propulsion once we are in the troposphere of a planet, moon, etc. that we desire. The first time I traveled to another planet, I felt like my mind and body were separating. Fortunately, I had Karen with me, with her arms around my waist, talking to me. The next trip was not that way. My mind had become attuned to the frequency change. The first trip was to Karen's home planet, which, by the way, is Balqui, and to meet and visit with her family. What an awesome experience, and what a beautiful planet and beautiful people. I can now pilot the spacecraft myself and accomplish such a flight. The 12 light years to her planet only took about 2.5 hours to accomplish. Most of that was in transitioning from the portal to normal spaceflight. I hope this answered a few questions. It may still seem confusing, but there will be a day when it is common knowledge. If you have other questions, please feel free to ask. And that's from General Jeremiah to my friend. Very interesting information, wouldn't you say, Drew?
Oh, I agree. And at the present time, with all of the mysterious happenstance of things happening, like yesterday, CNN comes out and talks about a time traveler seeing the Charlie Chaplin silent film of 1920. And how do we know it was a time traveler? Because he had a cell phone up to his ear talking. What a strange sight to find in a Charlie Chaplin movie.
Well, Drew, can I say something about that? I took the time to watch that video and examine it frame by frame, and you can see that there was quite a bit of special effects.
I have a copy that was given to me 25 years ago, Don. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what I was saying was that I examine what's going on in the frames, and there's quite a bit of video trickery in that. Number one, if you just look at the man that walks behind the zebra in the video, he's the first person walking, as you see, and look carefully at his shadow. He's wearing a light gray suit, and he casts a light gray shadow. You watch the supposed woman that really looks more like a man in drag, to tell you the truth, wearing a long black or very dark overcoat, winter coat, which is totally out of place in that scene, holding a cell phone. When you look at the shadow that woman's casting with her black coat, she's casting a much darker shadow than the man that just walked in front of her a few seconds prior to that. Then there's a man that walks in front of, after she passes, this man walks in front of the zebra. You can't see any apparent shadow he's casting, but he kind of morphs into the picture. In other words, they used a special effect to bring him into the middle of the picture. You don't see him move completely from the right side of the screen. They're all walking from right to left. And the zebra, which is the largest object in the whole, the whole picture, doesn't cast a shadow. I rest my case. Forget about the cell phone. I mean, that's
no,
just
the,
another.
The head side of the zebra does cast a shadow, and the head of the zebra casts a shadow that is perfect. According, and I'm a, I have got photo knowledge and training in that field, but the shadow of the saddle and the shadow of the horse's head match perfectly with the shadow of the individual, will for a better call of it, that has the cell phone. Now, I don't know what picture you're looking at.
I'm looking at the
DVD
video.
Yeah. Conversion of a film, a celluloid film, that was placed on into DVD. Well, it wasn't DVD. It was placed on CDs back in 1998.
Well, Drew,
sent to me by an individual in London. Wasn't in London, but he's outside of London.
Drew, the man cast a shadow.
And I need to get you a copy of that.
Okay. In the video that's posted,
I will
on
give
YouTube.
You a copy of that so you can look at what I've been looking at.
Okay. In the video that's posted on YouTube, the shadow the man casts is quite long. He's tall. The shadow the woman casts is even longer and darker than the one cast by the man. The shadow of the zebra, which is the largest object in that whole video and is right in the center of the picture, casts a shadow around the zebra's feet, and it doesn't even extend out away from the zebra any significant amount. It makes no sense what's going on with the shadowing in those pictures.
I have no doubt of what you're looking, of what you saw.
Yeah.
I did not see what you saw because I did not look at the videos, because when I heard the word that this was going on, I immediately went into my old-time radio archives, which I have over 168,000 copies of old-time radios from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and I pulled out the entire series of Charlie Chaplin, and I pulled the circus out, and it was, I knew I had it. I didn't have to look at what was put, and I slapped it on my computer and watched the silent film in its entirety and I have watched this film a number of times when I get bored. People ask me what I do for entertainment. Well, I watch cartoons, ladies and gentlemen, and I listen to old-time radio because it's clean and your mind, and it excites your mind. And if you think you can't get scared, turn the lights off and listen to some of the old-time radio scary programs that'll shock you out of your shoes. But I have the pleasure and the honor to have met up with a collector who's passed away back in the 90s, and he sent me copies of his silent films, everything that Charlie Chaplin did, and they were made from him going to a company, changing the celluloid and placing the celluloid movies onto CDs. And I'll get you a copy of this thing, because a lot of people don't have wherefore to put a lot of this out there. And this guy was making sure that his celluloid copies were out there, because I had given him a copy of an extremely rare celluloid of a detective that was pre-Sherlock Holmes in London. You can see that the Sherlock Holmes character was taken from this detective that was created back in the 1870s. But that's needless to say. The point I'm making is I will send you a copy of this CD from this movie that was given to me back in 1998. And the celluloid is a celluloid print that was used in theaters in the 1920s that played celluloids for the audience with a live stage band or orchestra that played music and to the tune of the movie playing in the background.
Well,
I think you will enjoy this.
Yes,
watching this.
I'm not doubting what you're saying. I'm just reasoning this out. Now, let's talk about just for a moment. We're about out of time, so we have to be really brief on this. But the cell phone also became a time traveling device. Okay, how is it that the cell phones don't work today, right in this time? Okay, usually don't work. You go
now. That's something as an engineer, Don, I look at it like, how would George Washington explain two-way radios if he had the access of a two-way radio in 1780?
Oh, vision is one thing.
I look at it like, you know, if he saw, and we bring that forward. I'm looking at the future. My mind is open to the fact that in the future, man, in the knowledge of man, could unite with the knowledge of other men and women from other galaxies, and maybe, unbeknown to the men and women in those galaxies right now, in their own future, man could overcome time travel and the talking on what we refer to as a cell phone from the future, talking through time.
Yeah.
A way, according to Nikola Tesla, where time is bent.
Well, again, I say.
Makes sense.
Let me finish my comment. They can't just make a regular cell call. I know people that call me up with their cell phone, and they sound like.
Well, I'm not talking about a cell phone today. I'm talking about a cell phone from the future that can travel through time and talk backwards and forwards through time.
But you see, what I read,
utilizing
Drew,
the theory. I'm not talking about what we've got now, Don. I'm not talking about what science and physics are now.
I'm
talking about the possibility,
Drew,
of what could be there in the future.
Hang on. I'm not disputing that we can have technology. But if that's the best a time traveler can do is find himself walking on the set of a Charlie Chaplin movie, he was one lost dude or one lost woman. Now, she. now, let me finish. I just read to you how the Federation, I read to the listening audience, how the Federation describes moving through space. And they don't leave the dimension. They bend time, but they're doing this with a very high technology. Okay, that has to be. You've got to have all kinds of technologies going on to move that heavyset woman and her cell phone in there and have the cell phone working against, against the same odds. So, Drew, the signs are all over the video.
Again, you're talking about the technology that the extraterrestrials, the Galaxy Federation has now.
Which
we
is
don't
a
know
thousand
about
years
what's coming out in 10 or 15 years. But the bottom line, Don, is that the time traveler can't go back and change time to take him out of the picture once we've seen the picture.
Well, you have to be certain, and science can't explain it. I can tell you that, but I can explain the anomalies that are in that production. That's what I've been doing. Now, I describe.
Again, I'll send you my copy. Again, I have not seen what you've seen.
I'll be happy to look at it.
And I don't. We could sit here and argue back and forth. But I don't doubt what you've got to say. Until you get my CD, you cannot agree with me.
Well, I may come to the same conclusion with the CD.
That makes sense.
You know. I might come to the same conclusion. I may see something in the CD.
Until you see it.
You know. But the point I'm making is these are people that are at
least, I just have an open eye and an open mind as an electronic engineer that I'm not going to shut my face and stick my head in a corner and say it cannot be done, period.
I'm not saying
that,
Drew.
When I feel in my heart that we're not anywhere close to the level of technology that's in the future. We're not even on the top of a pin's head.
Would it
of
be,
knowledge of what's
me,
coming
Let me
in
ask
the
you this, just you know, in a hypothetical sense, okay? Would it be something for us to pursue the wisdom that came through that message that I read from General Jeremiah? Or would it be a more worthwhile pursuit to see a time traveler in a Charlie Chaplin movie? Which would benefit us most in the long run?
Well, wait a minute. Now you're trying to compare information that's been given to you has that information been given to the news broadcasters of all the news media out there?
I just put
Again,
it over the airwaves around the
I'm earth. Looking at the point that you just brought it out yourself. How about the rest of the newscasters around the world?
Well,
yes, I see what you're saying, and I understand what you said, and what you said makes a lot of sense to me, 100%. Traveling through time, not the way Einstein's theory, because Nikola Tesla ate Einstein's theory to lunch.
Mm-hmm. I
but
agree.
What you said makes sense, 100%, on the technology that's based on. But I feel that there's going to be something even greater than that down the road. That's like saying that man will never fly. Well, man does not fly physically, but man has the knowledge to put a plane, an aircraft, in the air and fly himself.
Yeah, and there were other men.
500 years ago, if Don Nikoloff walked down the street of Paris, France, and said that in a future date, he could fly from Paris, France to New York City in 6 hours. They would have locked him up in a dungeon and fed him cornbread and rice and a glass of water because he's nuts.
Do they eat cornbread in France?
But the bottom line there is the French did fly planes from Paris, France to New York City in 5 hours and 43 minutes.
Yeah, I get the meaning of what you're
saying.
And
the United States military has had a plane that could take off at Marine Corps Air Station El Toro and fly from Marine Corps Station El Toro across the continent, straight across the Atlantic to London, to the airfield north, the American air base north of London, 30 miles, turn around and fly back on one fuel cell and do so in 4 hours, setting the world speed record. And has not been close to being broken yet. And that plane was known as the Blackbird, the SR-71.
Well, we're talking about
the pilot was a United States Air Force pilot, and the co-pilot was a United States Marine.
Well, they fly to the moon now.
Try to explain that to your French in 1700. It's like trying to say, okay, well, Drew and Don were talking about the impossibility of cell phones talking through time in 2010. In 2040, that might be a reality.
I'll tell you this, Drew. I'll make a prediction that
the technology of that time.
That from the time frame that this person, well, they're saying it's from about this time, obviously, we won't need cell phones in the future. If we do what the general was describing and clean up our environment and breathe pure air, we're going to have longer lives. We'll live long enough to see these changes and even be a part of affecting these changes. To me, that's a worthwhile pursuit.
I agree.
That's really
but,
what we
and it goes no matter how far we live into the future, as far as I know, living into the future, moving into the future, and living longer, communication Is it going to go to the point where we're going to be mental telepathy across the world? That's possible, but that's been depicted in the movie Star Trek with Whoopi Goldberg being something like 800 years old and being able to talk to relatives on another planet light years away.
Oh, you don't have to be that old to do that today.
That's been brought out.
Yeah, you don't have to be that old to do that.
So I don't know what comes forth and where it's all. I do believe in time travel. I really believe in time travel.
Well, I described
it. And I'm not going to give up on that belief.
No, I described it. But I'm saying, CNN that gave us phony pictures of 9/11 can give us phony pictures of a Chaplin movie just as easily.
Oh, and that's possible. I agree. I haven't seen the CNN footage. I've just seen the footage here of a movie that I've had long before CNN got their hands on anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
I agree with you 100% of the fraud that's going on out there. Left and right, the movie industry. I mean, look at the uncovered 9/11 footage that the FBI director asking firefighters about secondary hits on World Trade Center that's just now being uncovered. For those of you that receive the news and views, it was posted on it this morning. I am sorry I don't have a website for you to go look at that video or have that grab that link on that video. Let's see if I can tell where I got that video from. I don't know if it's a YouTube video or not. So I apologize. It may be one of the network videos. But, Don, I sent you that this morning. That's not to change the subject. That is to let you know that when videos are made and we have them properly archived, once they've been seen, then they cannot be changed out. It's a YouTube video. Okay, mm-hmm. It's off of YouTube. Now, I can't call the movie up, but I was able to call the link up.
Well, if
and
you can send that to me. No.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to YouTube and call up a video about 9/11, and the 9/11 footage show, and then put 9/11, and then type in FBI director. And I guarantee you, this will blow you away, Don, because all of a sudden it implies the FBI director has knowledge that the World Trade Center is supposed to have been hit two or even three times in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't doubt it. I've contended all along that they were showing us bogus footage. They were all simultaneously showing us the same camera angles with the same what are called blackouts or fades, where each independent station blacked out on the same frames. That's impossible unless they all are using the same feed, if they're given the same material to broadcast, you see. And they operate on at least a 17-second delay, which gives them enough time. And we've talked about the anomalies. Drew, we're out of time.
I just got a link from Wind Talkers station in New Orleans, or in South Louisiana. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say New Orleans. The name of the video is the FD New York Video Team. The FD NY Video Team right after the demolition. And that's on YouTube. 9/11. Okay, thank you, John. 9/11. The FDNY video team right after the demolition, a tape that has been leaked out. So more fraud is brought forth. So the fraud that CNN's put up, that's believable.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we're out of time.
Why did they do it? They put the falsified version out. Because there's a real version out there that they don't want you to really see.
Yeah.
To really look. Again, I'll have to get you a copy and send it to you.
Okay, and I'll be happy to look at that. I hate to cut you off, but we're out of time. We've got to say goodnight. So I want to thank you for being on Evidence.
I can go to bed now?
You can go to bed now. The show, A Marine's Disquisition, is heard on blogtalkradio.com and also on Wind Talkers Radio Network. And all you have to do is Google Drew Malone Rains III, and it'll take you right there. Or you can go to Drew's website when it's up and running, amd.elequity.com. Thanks, Drew, for being on the show, and I look forward to your next visit.
Thank you, Don.
And you get you some shut-eye tonight, okay?
Oh, I'm just going to go in and lay down. Maybe my eyes are closed.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evidence Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our guest, Drew Malone Rains III. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.